Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you've never seen the anointing, there you go. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34, we're going to talk today about heeding the Spirit's direction. It was kind of a continuation of a message I started a few weeks ago. It's funny, you've already partaken of that because the Lord directed the first part of this service and he's going to direct the rest of it as well. And the responding verses will be on the screen behind me. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by her fortune telling. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to her, true to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods.
And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely.
And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. And watch this. And everyone's chains. Did you hear that? Everyone's chains. Oh, I like that part. There's going to be some chains broken off here today. Everybody's chains. Everyone's chains were loosed. But Paul called out with a loud voice and saying, do not harm yourself, for we are all here.
And then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before all the Silas.
And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.
I want to stop right here just for a moment. I'll finish that. How many of you are believing for your household to be saved? Wave your hand at me. I'm going to preach at you today like God's going to do something today. Okay, I just want you to know that. I want to see if we got some faith in the house because God's about to do something. Okay. Then he spoke to the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Verse 34 together. Now when they had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and we rejoiced, having believed in God with his house. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, some people may think this is ambiguous. Some people may think this is crazy. But Lord, I believe today you're speaking to this household that you're about to shake up some stuff. Lord, shake up the doubt and the fear and the frustration that's kept us captive to the thought that our children, that our family, that our mom, that our dad, that our friends will always be under and captured in sin. Lord, loose faith in this house to see household salvation. Lord, we rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, that as the word of God comes forth under the Spirit's direction, that things will be set in motion, that people will be set free. Lord, I thank you for this. I praise you for this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want to say thank you, first of all, because God, when he moves in the Spirit like he did just a few moments ago, I felt the intercession of people that are in this body that we began to pray, because that's not something I just take lightly. When the Holy Spirit wants to do something, we want to be obedient. Is that all right? Because that's what God called us to do. But my little introduction says, the Holy Spirit seems to have crossed denominational lines with his presence, and known in circumstances before seem to be unaffected by prayer. That God's doing some things that are denominational. At the same time, there is a push from the camp of the enemy to simulate activities that capture the imagination and loyalty of those looking for supernatural power and influence. I'm going to stop there in my introduction. How many of you know what a mentalist is? Just raise your hand if you know what a mentalist is. I think a few of you do. Many of you don't. Mentalists are those type of people, and you find them in Las Vegas. You find them in various shows that they have in places where you pay money to see them. And they appear to have, in many cases, they have supernatural powers where they can tell you your name, your social security number, the number of people in your family, and all sorts of things. How do they do that? He says, and it just astounds people. Matter of fact, how could they know that I was on a vacation in Hawaii with my sister and blah, blah, blah? Just goes on and on and on. The only reason why I'm saying that is that the devil is an emulator. He knows a lot of things about you. There's some things he doesn't know, but he takes what he does know and he tries to get people into bondage or further bondage to stay in his camp. And I want you to pay very close attention to me today, because we're going to review or rebuke some of those powers that have held people captive. The spirit of Satan has captured the hearts of many by manifesting control over things they thought only and exclusively were available to the power of God. Let me just do this politically. Some of you are still stinging over the whole same-sex marriage thing. You're stinging over that. How could God allow this to happen? How could this be? God doesn't change his mind about nothing. And I'm not going to spend my pulpit time to give the devil time, because you know what? As long as you are believing in Jesus and living the life that you should live, you can overthrow the works of the devil. Now, and when you get an opportunity to speak, you speak out with authority, but also with respect, realizing that some people are held captive and don't even know it. I appreciate some people that are more vocal as far as that's concerned, but it's still at the same time, I want to put you in a frame of mind that we're not losing. Do you hear what I said? That sometimes God has to spank the church a little bit, because we just kind of let our guard down, this type of thing, and God wants to put us back on the forefront. Well, here's my question. Did you know that demonic spirits can emulate some of the power of the Holy Spirit and capture the souls of people? That's exactly what's going on. The devil make you think you're in control. And he can simulate even fake healings. I don't know whether you knew that there were various people that were demonically possessed that could take their hand and wave it over your chest, reach in, take out cancer, and zip it back up again. I've seen it on film. And no blood. You said, what? But think about this. If the devil gave you cancer, can't he take it away? But it's to glorify him. But whatever God does is to glorify him. And all the glory, all the praise belongs to God. I won't camp on that for a while, because there's other things I need to tell you. Number two, have you considered the fact that your obedience to Christ could cause you to suffer major consequences? Now let's look on the dark side of it. Many times when you're obedient to Christ, it doesn't give you a flowery road or things are going to become better. Things may get worse.
Amen.
You may go to jail. You may lose everything you have for being obedient to Christ. Did I sign up for that? It was in the fine print. Covered by the blood. Number three, heeding the direction of the Spirit may cause you to come into direct confrontation with the forces of darkness. Let me move right into the sermon. The spiritual encounters await those who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, it says here, it happened when they were in prayer that this whole slave girl incident happens. I want to tell you, some of the greater direct encounters you're going to have with the devil is when you're trying to pray. Amen. Ever try to pray and somebody you don't even like comes over to see you? I mean, it's like the divine, not so divine interruption. But they're going up there to pray, and then and the scene just kind of opens up, and a certain slave girl possessed by the devil and divination, prophet, and she's following, and she goes behind, these men are men of God! These men are telling the truth as far as that's concerned. And you're thinking, what in the world is going on? But you know one thing I like about Paul? He saw for what it truly was. This had nothing to do with promoting the kingdom of God. It had everything to do with promoting the kingdom of the devil. Be careful what you sign on to. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful what you align yourself with. What am I going with to this? The whole idea of mentalists, divination, mediums, spiritualists, all these different things all operate in the realm of the devil. Now, there's one scripture I didn't put in here. I'll read it real quickly. It's in Acts chapter 19. It lets you know how people work and they try to hijack the things of God. Chapter 19, verse 14. The Bible says, and also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit and said, now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And so even handkerchiefs or aprons from the were brought and the sick were healed. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Some people will try to hijack the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, he will not be hijacked. They'll try to swing upon the anointing that's in your life. Be careful, because here's what the Bible says. And so he says, and also the seven sons of Sceva, who were Jewish priests, and the evil spirit answered and said to him, he says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? One thing you can take away from that is the devil knows who Jesus is. He may not like him, but you know, he says, and I know who Paul is, but who are you? You little small-time punk. And you're going to think you're going to get some glory out of this? And watch this. The devil, they're trying to get out. Watch this. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Now in the hood we say naked. You didn't say naked, they were naked. The power is this, that God will not be put asunder by the tactics of the enemy. Well, there's great gain to be gotten by those who choose to live in the realm of the spirit world. Spirits of the devil can recognize the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the reason why I believe the Lord had us anoint one another a few moments ago, and we said some specific words where we served an eviction notice on the devil knows that when God has an authority, he cannot stay. You say, what? He can't stay. So wait a minute, he's been here a long time. I don't care how long he's been there. Now you can invite him back if you want to. But he cannot stay because God has always had power in the name of Jesus over every demon in hell. Even since we had prayer a few moments ago, the enemy is kind of playing with people's minds. Well, you know, as soon as you leave these doors, it's going to be the same old thing. I got news for the devil. That's not true. Because God's about to do some things and solidify work. Well, anyway, we live in the Spirit and by the Spirit if we are truly dedicated to Jesus. No matter, no area of your life should lack the touch and the anointing of Christ. Now, was there something magical in the oil? No. No. Olive oil, brought it at Safeway. Albertsons, you know, Walmart. It's not in the oil, but it's what the oil represents. The oil represents the Spirit of God that flows upon us. That when we, it's a symbol to recognize this, there's something that's being imparted to you. It's not the, remember the thing, it's whatever that makes the oil that makes a difference. No. It's the anointing that goes behind the oil of the Spirit of God that will make a difference. Even people of the world can recognize our anointing in Christ. Lately, this has been happening to me. It's not because I don't believe anybody special. But I'll go to some particular place. I'm just walking along this man. And people just stop and engage me in conversation and say hi and this type of thing and smile. I'm thinking, is it because I'm old? Do you think, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out. And God kind of slapped me in the face. He says, my presence is upon you, and there's a spirit in you that welcomes people, and you need to know how to engage people so they can get to know me. And I'm thinking it's about me the whole time. Wow. But you know what I've done? I got a list now of people that I go to this club and work out, as far as that's concerned. But anyway, there's this one young fellow there, and he's just gone out of his way to say, be nice to me, say hello, and this type of thing. And I've targeted him. This next time he says hello, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus. He said, what? Yeah, why not? If he says no, he ain't saying no to me, he's saying no to Jesus. We have got to get over ourselves being so timid to talk to people and to love them because of the Spirit of God that's in us that draws people to us. Do you realize it's not your cologne? It's not your charismatic personality. It's the power of God that's bringing people to you. Come on. Some of you may go home depressed. That's okay. Our commitment to the things of God will cause us to confront the works of darkness. Now, move on to this. The name of Jesus has the power and authority to confront the powers of darkness. The Holy Spirit operates under the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, this may be simplistic to some of you, but I want to make you aware of something about the name of Jesus. In the very context, if you look it through the Bible, there are various places where people would call on the name of Jesus. And remember, the blind man says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people that were in the crowd, they said, shut up. Don't bother the master. What are you doing? This makes no sense. Don't be a part of this whole situation. This is not the right thing for you to do. But he cried even louder. And the thing I want to tell you about is that oftentimes when we call on the name of Jesus, it will cause a response from people that we probably weren't anticipating. So the Holy Spirit has given us deliverance to bring to deliverance from deception and bondage. There's no power greater than the Holy Spirit that has been deputized by the name of Jesus. Well, Paul and Silas, obedience to the Holy Spirit caused them to be beaten and put in prison. Oh, isn't that exciting? I want you to erase this from your profile and they live happily ever after, because it doesn't always work. It means that times when you obey God and they rebuke the spirit of divination out of this young lady, that what happens, what the next few things that happen is that Paul and Silas find themselves in big trouble. Now, the issue is this. Are you willing to suffer persecution? Because here's the scripture. Those who live godly will suffer persecution. What? I thought they'll be congratulated by God and be blessed more, and you know, and all these resources will come their way. That doesn't eliminate the fact that God many times will reward us, but it's not a guarantee that because you did something in the name of the Lord that God owes you any type of response. Do you get that? And so the process of them coming before this particular, and you know, actually, it's funny how they describe this. It says, So she did this for many days, and Paul, greatly annoyed. Paul says, if that girl says this one more time, I'm going to deactivate her. And she did. These men are men of God. Listen to them. So he says, that's it. Little girl, in the name of Jesus, come out of this girl. I've had enough. And all of a sudden, all her powers left her. And boy, it was on from then on. Obedience to Christ may cost you something. And some of you sit in this room today, it costs you some rifts in your family. Some of you, it may have cost you even a dear relationship. It may have cost you your marriage. It may have cost you your children never wanting to speak to you again because you took a stand for the Lord. Now we're getting personal. But the story doesn't end there. Suffering pain and loss, we must be willing to pay the price of whatever it takes in order to follow Christ. We may suffer a great loss of our reputation. And some people have, you've been sitting in this room, you've been labeled by your coworkers as being a fanatic or a born-again Christian, and not in a good way. Or whatever particular handle they put on you. But listen to me carefully. It's going to be worth it. Let's go to, it says, well, God will meet us in the midnight of our trial and test. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says this, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Question. I want to define this for you, and then I want you to respond appropriately. Midnight is one of those places where it's dark, it seems like there's nothing going on. But I'm going to show you some other places in Scripture where it has a significant impact on folks. But still, at the midnight of circumstances, we may find ourselves realizing that there are things that, you know, that there's no reason to be doing what they did. So at midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing. That does not make sense. You've been beaten. You've been stripped naked. You've been beaten. And now it's midnight. And you're singing praises to God. I need to take you in Scripture to a place that will help you understand what happens. Psalm chapter 77, or 77 Psalm, verses 6 through 12. I just got this before I came up here. It wasn't in my original notes, so they won't have it up there on the screen, so I will just read it for you. 77, verse 6 says this. I call to remembrance my song in the night. What's he talking about, his song in the night? It means I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Here's my question. How many of you are going through a midnight experience? Don't be afraid to raise your hand and say, I'm going through midnight, folks. It's a dark place in my life. Go ahead, leave it up there for a moment. Make the devil real mad because we're about ready to shine some light. But you're going through midnight. It's at the darkest point of your existence and you don't see the way out. And so David says, where is it God that comes to me at midnight? I don't see him. I remember one time it was a particular place, actually I believe it was in Africa. The moon was not out that night. It was literally so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It is the most eerie feeling when you have no sense of direction. To open your eyes, you might as well keep them closed. Because there's no light. And your equilibrium is off because you're kind of like, you don't want to move this way or that way because if the ground's uneven, you feel like you're going to fall over. I want to talk about darker than midnight. And he goes on a little bit further and he finds out, he says, and this is my anguish, but I will, but watch this. In verse 10, he says this. Excuse me. For he has mercy and cease forever, and promise fail forever. Okay. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his mercy, tender mercies? Now watch this. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I want to call to your remembrance when it wasn't that dark. I want to call to your remembrance when the sun was shining and you were rejoicing in the Lord. Because when it gets dark outside, remember the days when God brought you this far. And if he, by faith he brought me this far, he's going to lead me further. Amen. Don't let the midnight of circumstances overtake you when things seem so dark. Because after a while, there's going to be a breaking of, I can see the breaking of day. God is making a way. A change is coming for me. If I stand strong and believe, there's no reason to doubt. I know he's working it out, turning around for me. How many believe that? See, that's what's happening. Well, the powerful thing of that is that God knows about midnight circumstances. Well, that being the case, our midnight experience will be the test of our faith when we are seemingly at our lowest point of experience. Paul and Silas, they're in jail, they're in stocks, facts are running against them. But the Holy Spirit within them drove them to prayer and praise. Pastor Paul, come up here and help me. This is what we're going to do. We're going to start praising God right here. He said, you thought you ain't done yet. But I want you to do something right now. I want you to think of that song of praise in the midnight of your circumstances that can turn that around for you. I just sang a little one there. I only want one person. Because I'll get all of you up here, we'd be singing all day. I got mine up here, I will do mine. But one person will stand up, stand your feet, says, Pastor, this is the song that brings me out of midnight. Stand up right now, tell me what that song is. And by faith, we're going to play it. What is it? God has smiled on me. Oh, praise the Lord. Where are you, Brother Paul? About D flat, we can do that. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's really been good to me. He's the cause of all. Just a moment, we're going to do another song, then I'll bring the worship team up here. I'm going to close this message off, but the Holy Spirit within me, within them, drove them to prayer. And I believe the song that they sang was, I trust you, Lord. We're going to sing that in a minute. Because that's what some of you in this room today that are in the midnight of circumstances where things look so bad, that if we really trust him, in the midst of his will, he'll reveal some things to us. But let me just give you a few little words with that, and then I'll invite the worship team up. Just stay there for a moment. In our deepest time of trouble, the Holy Spirit will move us into prayer and praise. And when we feel the least capable of ministry, it is time when we must rely upon the Lord to strengthen us. Ever feel like not going to church? A pastor not feel like going to church? Ooh, that's blasphemy. I'm going to be honest with you. I said, the last place I want to be is with you. It looks like my life's over. Because sometimes a pain can be so deep. But then that song, I trust you, Lord. Whatever your will is, Lord, I trust you. Well, supernatural intervention from the Lord seems to be an earmark of the Holy Spirit's intervention because, you know, at times when we think we just can't make it, you know, the Acts will tell us that we can find that God will find us in the midst of all the hard things. I want to take you to Acts chapter 5, verse 17. I think they'll put that one on the screen. I think we got that one. Okay. Then the high priest rose up and those who were with him and the Sadducees were lifted, were filled with indignation. I think it goes on the next verse. But when the officers came out and did not find him in prison, they returned and reported saying, indeed we found the prison shut securely, the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, when the high priest and the captain, the temple, the chief priest heard this, these things, they wonder what the outcome would be. Goes on. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. A little bit further. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Now, here it comes. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. You know what that testimony is? Even if we have to go back to jail, it doesn't change anything. God wants to supernaturally bring deliverance into your life. Worship team, come on in this direction as I'm kind of closing out this part of the service. But God's intervention defies explanation. Our mandate to perform the will of God should be by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. And that means that we trust him. The key factor that we must live a life of constant obedience to the Holy Spirit no matter what things look like in the natural. I'm coming down here and I'm going to ask God to do something very special for you folks. You say, well, I thought it was over. We already had our altar call. Well, that was for the first group. Group two. We're going to sing this song, I Trust You, Lord, and that's going to be an amazing thing that'll happen. Because what it's saying is that whatever your will is, Lord, I trust you. I want to speak prophetically to some of you. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Because as dark as it is right now with your eyes closed, it's the same darkness that you feel and you sense when that situation comes before you and you don't know which way to go. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, Here's the word I'm going to ask some people right now. Every person that's in here that is at a crossroads of making a decision and you need God's intervention, lift your hand right now. Wow. Now, you put your hands down. Because that's what this message is for. Amidst those people that raise their hands, there are people here who really need to turn their life over to Jesus. Did I say you're not a Christian? No. But when we say we trust God, that means we're no longer going to trust ourselves. Do you understand that? And we have people that will pray with you. We have people who will spend time with you. But in a moment when we stand to our feet, those of you that lifted your hands and those of you that really want to know Jesus, I'll make no distinction between the two. I want you to flood these altars, to come down here. We're going to pray with you, and God is going to do some things in your life. Everyone stand to your feet. And those of you that lift your hands, you really want some answer from the Lord, just step out right now in Jesus' name. I trust you.
I trust you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.